people don't ask the question, what do you think anymore? They say, how do you feel? And I say, well, my feelings are very ephemeral and undependable.
Elizabeth Elliot says, if you dwell on your own feelings about things, rather than dwelling on the faithfulness, the love, and the mercy of God, then you're likely to have a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. Our feelings are very fluctuating and ephemeral, aren't they? We can't depend on them for 5 minutes at a time. But dwelling on the faithfulness and the love and the mercy of God is always safe, she says, because He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. We have a group discussion today. Let's get started.
Each morning I begin the day with Romans 12:1-2. I give God my body, and then I present my mind to Him and my will, and worship Him, but particularly in writing, speaking, and answering the telephone. You need a mind that God is guiding. It's amazing what the Holy Spirit can do if you give Him something to work with.
And while somebody's talking on the phone, you can be saying, Lord, what am I to say to this impossible problem?
And the Holy Spirit does give to us guidance from His Word. No question about that. Gary?
Part of the problem I think that many listeners might struggle with, that I know I have, all of us might have, is that because the answers are not always immediate, because the answers are not always direct, oftentimes people feel that, well, what works for Warren, Elizabeth, and Gary has not worked for me.
But that's the difference between principles and formulas, is it not?
Exactly. The idea again of obedience we talked about, of being faithful, of being persistent. And as I choose to focus on truth, as I choose to dwell on truth, as I choose to take the experience of what I would hear in a university setting and from people who are not believers, some who are vehemently opposed to the claims of Christ, and to weigh those, A, with what I know to be true in the context of the Word, but secondly, what the Holy Spirit alerts me to, you know, to ask questions. And that also is part of the process of building discernment. I think it's important that we allow God to help us learn how to ask good questions and wise questions and to appropriately question, quote unquote, authority. A person who may be an authority in one discipline may be ignorant, may know nothing about another discipline and clearly about the deeper things of ultimate reality, which is God, His love for us, the cross.
Of course, there is this philosophy today. There are two philosophies. One is, of course, relativism. Truth is something relative. The second thing is we live in a pluralistic society, and therefore you have every right to believe whatever you want to believe, even if it's dead wrong, even if it's going to end up with you dying and going to hell. You can believe whatever you want to believe, and I'll be tolerant of it. Well, of course, we as Christians do love one another, and we love those who don't agree with us. Is not this attitude creeping into people's minds?
You know, this brings us back to one of the dimensions of the mind that God's given us, and that's the ability to discern. You mentioned earlier television and commercials, and I think it's interesting in magazines that people who have no idea, who are not authorities on a product, but if they are famous,
oh, yes.
If they're famous, they become an authority, and you buy this because someone who knows absolutely nothing about a product and may never have used it because their face...
It's a good home run record.
Exactly. Their name or their face appears.
That's the halo effect.
Yes, and discerning authority and discerning the people that we can listen to and hear. And again, that comes with what we plant in our mind. In Philippians chapter 4, mm-hmm. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, good repute, anything excellent, worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. I think we could use the metaphor here of a farmer planting seeds. My wife's father is a corn farmer, and every spring they go out and cultivate and till the soil, they plant seeds. Sometimes when they don't plant a field, you'll have what you will call volunteer corn. It will be corn that didn't come up the year it was planted, but a year or 2 years later. But I've never met a farmer who tried to live on a crop of volunteer corn. planting good seed, but where do we get the good seed at, Elizabeth? The kinds of people that we can listen to that can feed us and be authorities, and there are so many voices, and I find especially young people today, in some cases, take as authorities those who are just the exact opposite.
But now, what we've been talking about, and Elizabeth, I want you to address this, if you will, please. What we've been talking about demands some discipline. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a disciplined mind, 2 Timothy 1:7. What is a disciplined mind and how do we get it? Elizabeth, you are known as a disciplined person.
Well, discipline, of course, comes from the original word that simply means a learner. And a disciplined mind is one that is prepared always to learn new truth. It is disciplined by the limitations and the guidelines given to us in Scripture, if we're speaking about spiritual things. Of course, anybody who studies anything has to learn the disciplines of that particular field. The translation that I have before me doesn't say a disciplined mind. It says that God gave us no craven spirit, but one to inspire strength, love, and self-discipline. And I think probably one of the most crucial areas today which needs discipline is not going by our feelings. Mm-hmm. There's so much feeling-oriented. People don't ask the question, what do you think anymore? They say, how do you feel? And I say, well, my feelings are very ephemeral and undependable. If I were to go on my feelings, for example, in my quiet time, it would be a disaster. Mm-hmm. I don't have a quiet time with God when I feel like it, when I feel religious, when I feel as though I'm somehow wonderfully in touch with God. I must discipline my mind to pray. I must discipline my mind to study the Scriptures and to try to listen to God. And this is a matter of bringing under control my emotions, bringing my thoughts also under the control of God. But I think the highest faith is that which operates when there are no feelings at all mm-hmm. that contribute. It is the soul that clings tenaciously to God.
And obeys.
Mm-hmm. Which, when there are no feelings that make obedience easy or that make my prayers a pleasant and emotional experience.
Someone has said that faith is not believing in spite of evidence, it is obeying in spite of consequence. You think of the three Hebrew children who said, God can deliver us, but even if he doesn't, we're willing to become cinders because we're going to obey him. And then God did step in, of course. Gary?
C.S. Lewis in Screwtape Letters, in one of the letters, I believe it's letter 13, talks about what he calls the law of undulation. And that is times when God does not appear to be, we don't feel that he's as close to us as he has been in times past. And Lewis writes in the context of Screwtape Letters that sometimes God does that to build in us the discipline to respond because we love him and out of obedience, not because we have a warm feeling. A model that I use with some folks that I work with, it's a very simple model, but I think it's accurate, is to simply visualize, draw a triangle. Those of you who are driving in the car right now, please don't draw a triangle, but is to draw a triangle and at one corner put the word feelings or emotions. And this is a part of what it means to be made in God's image. God feels a lot of emotions we find attributed to God in Scripture, and then at another point put the word mind, at the third point put the word will. To take our feelings or emotions, which sometimes are valid and sometimes aren't. They are capricious at times. And to channel those feelings through our mind. By mind, I don't mean, again, a sterile, analytical, what's the bottom line, what's most time-effective, cost-effective. By mind, I mean prayer, the Holy Spirit, revealed truth, the Word, wise counsel, time, past experience, logic. All of those things, as I read through the Word, would be included in that broad construct of mind to allow that ability God's given us to purify, to help us discern those emotions. But oftentimes emotions provide the energy that God uses to help us accomplish His will.
Without emotions, life would be rather drab.
At best.
And I appreciate the fact that Elizabeth emphasized that we're not robots. When we do an act of will, whether we feel like it or not, we're not denying our feelings.
One of the most succinct verses in Scripture that describes what we're talking about here is the psalmist when he says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust." He's not denying the feeling of fear, which is certainly a deep emotion that all of us know. But in the very moment when I am afraid, then my will is going to go into operation, and I am going to choose to trust God.
So life basically really comes down to choices, doesn't it? Life is built on character, and character is built on decisions. And these decisions have to do with our choices.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.